Far Eastern Tales, written by W. Somerset Maugham and read by Robert Powell.
Footprints in the Jungle. There is no place in Malaya that has more charm than Tanimarra. It lies on the sea, and the sandy shore is fringed with casuarinas. The government offices are still in the old raat huis that the Dutch built when they owned the land, and on the hill stand the grey ruins of the fort by aid of which the Portuguese maintain their hold over the unruly natives. Tanimarra has a history, and in the vast labyrinthine houses of the Chinese merchants backing on the sea so that in the cool of the evening they may sit in their loggias and enjoy the salt breeze, families dwell that have been settled in the country for three centuries. Many have forgotten their native language and hold intercourse with one another in Malay and Pidgin English. The imagination lingers here gratefully, for in the federated Malay states, the only past is within the memory, for the most part, of the fathers of living men. Tanimarra was for long the busiest mart of the Middle East, and its harbour was crowded with shipping when the clipper and the junk still sailed the China seas. But now it is dead. It has the sad and romantic air of all places that have once been of importance and live now on the recollection of a vanished grandeur. It is a sleepy little town, and strangers that come to it, losing their native energy, insensibly drop into its easy and lethargic ways. Successive rubber booms bring it no prosperity, and the ensuing slumps hasten its decay. The European quarter is very silent. It is trim and neat and clean. The houses of the white men, government servants and agents of companies, stand round an immense padang, agreeable and roomy bungalows shaded by great cassias, and the padang is vast and green and well cared for, like the lawn of a cathedral close. And indeed, there is in the aspect of this corner of Tanimarra something quiet and delicately secluded that reminds you of the precincts of Canterbury. The club faces the sea. It is a spacious but shabby building. It has an air of neglect, and when you enter, you feel that you intrude. It gives you the impression that it is closed, really, for alterations and repairs, and that you have taken indiscreet advantage of an open door to go where you are not wanted. In the morning, you may find there a couple of planters who have come in from their estates on business and are drinking a gin sling before starting back again. And latish in the afternoon, a lady or two may perhaps be seen looking with a furtive air through old numbers of the Illustrated London News. At nightfall, a few men saunter in and sit about the billiard room watching the play and drinking sukus. But on Wednesdays, there is a little more animation. On that day, the gramophone is set going in the large room upstairs, and people come in from the surrounding country to dance. There are sometimes no less than a dozen couples, and it is even possible to make up two tables of bridge. It was on one of these occasions that I met the Cartwrights. I was staying with a man called Gaze, who was head of the police, and he came into the billiard room where I was sitting and asked me if I would make up a four. The Cartwrights were planters, and they came into Tanimarra on Wednesdays because it gave their girl a chance of a little fun. "They were very nice people," said Gaze, "quiet and unobtrusive, and played a very pleasant game of bridge." I followed Gaze into the card room and was introduced to them. They were already seated at a table, and Mrs. Cartwright was shuffling the cards. It inspired me with confidence to see the competent way in which she did it. She took half the pack in each hand, and her hands were large and strong, deftly inserted the corners of one half under the corners of the other, and with a click and a neat, bold gesture, cascaded the cards together. It had all the effect of a conjuring trick.